It's kind of important to all be on the same page, isn't it? I mean, when you're working together as a team, if you're in a sports team, or maybe you're in a pit crew, or you're in some sort of team, it's important for everyone to be on the same page. And so that's what we've been doing here. Last week we talked about being one. Now, the whole idea of this message series is so we can get together and we can all be on the same page. Because how can we move forward? How can we move forward as a united group if we have different understandings about key subjects in our church? We can't. We need to be united in these things. We started off the series with a very clear message on what Scripture says about being in. Are you in the kingdom? Are you in Christ? Are you in? And it's very important that we are all on the same page when it comes to that subject. We have to be in unity there as one body, not only in our beliefs, but also in our actions in regards to what it takes to be in. As a body, we should also be growing up. We should be maturing together. And so that's what our second week talked about. Our second week asked the question, are you up? Are you growing? Because we need to be on the same page there also. Next week, we ventured on into the understanding of needing to be on the same page about this whole subject of getting out and sharing our faith, sharing our relationship with God with other people. And so we asked the question, are you out? Because that's an important subject for us all to get on the same page with and not just think that, well, some people are just gifted evangelists. No, we have all been called to be witnesses of what God has done in our life. And we need to be on the same page there. And then last week, we had a whole message on the importance of this idea of teamwork, of being one, of being beside each other, of serving side by side. And so we asked the question, are you beside? I cannot stress for you how important it is for us to be on the same page on each of these subjects if we're going to be moving forward. So today we're going to continue in that understanding of the importance of being on the same page. And today we're asking a very simple question. Are you under? Under is our next preposition. This question deals with the subject of support. So what's expected of a member of Miami Town Church of Christ? Well, we expect you to support the leadership here. We expect you to support the structure that the leadership feels that God has led them to put into place here. We expect you to support the main mission, the general mission of the church. And we ask you and expect you to support the vision of the church. I don't believe those are unrealistic expectations. I mean, we could make this a 5-minute sermon if you'd like this morning, because I could just say, are you willing to be under God? Amen. Right? Amen? Let's go. Let's go eat some lunch. Because, I mean, the rest of that's kind of bonus. It's kind of bonus material for us to have, for us to learn about, for us to understand. But I think it's important for us to all be on the same page there. But ultimately, before we get started, I just want to make that set early that all the rest of this is stuff that God has put in place. And really, the only question here is, are you under God's leadership? Are you submitting to God? Because God's the one that's put the leaders in place. God's the one that's put the idea of the structures in the leader's mind. He's put the vision. He's put the mission. All that's God's doing. But, as I said, I'd like to include you guys. I'd like for you to see what goes on here, to understand our structure, to understand our leadership. So this morning, we're going to kind of do something a little different. It's not as intense as these messages have been. All right, this one's more of a put your glasses on, let's pull out our notebooks, let's take some notes. All right, it's more of an educational type thing. And it's something I think, in the grand scheme of things, we've been looking at this whole message series. This is a very important part that we all are on the same page when it comes down to these subjects. So this morning, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to lay out on the table what we've got here, what we do, where we feel that God has led us, and how we function right now, so that we can all be on the same page with that. Our leadership structure here at Miami Town Church of Christ, it's a little different than what you might see at other churches. Does that mean that we're wrong? Of course not. Does it mean that other churches are wrong? Absolutely not. We have freedom in Christ. I believe that the Bible has set up some guidelines for church structure. And I believe as long as you stay inside those guidelines, there's a lot of freedom. Our God is a creative God, amen? And I believe within those guidelines, he's given us the ability to be creative when it comes to church structure and church leadership. I don't believe that God made for his church one cookie cutter shape, and this is the exact cookie cutter shape that you're supposed to use. And if you do this cookie cutter shape, then guess what? You're biblical. You're the good church. You're the right church. What happens when there's a church with a different cookie cutter shape? It's not a heart. This one's a heart. This one's a little fish. Of course, a fish is like Christian, right? Jesus wrote the fish in the sand. Our worship guy's got a fish tattoo, so I guess fish is Christian. So what happens when a church comes along with a different shaped structure? Does that mean that we look at this fish, we look at this shape, we look at this cookie cutter, and we go, "Die, you demon-worshipping pagans!" No. Unfortunately, that's what happens a lot of times, though. But the idea is, if this cookie cutter fits within the boundaries of what God has set up for church structure, and the fish cookie cutter also fits within those boundaries, I believe both can glorify God. Can I get an amen there? Amen. I believe both can be honoring to God. I believe both are obedient to God. I don't buy into this philosophy that there's only one way to organize a church. That there's only one way that the true church government can be found. I believe there's a variety of different ways. I believe there's a lot of creativity involved in that. And I believe that if you do believe that there is one way and only one way to have church government or church structure or church leadership, I believe that's wrong to think that way. I believe we're putting God into a box that God doesn't belong into. I do want to reiterate, there are boundaries. I believe there are many right ways to organize a church, many right ways to place leadership into places in a church. And I'm proud of our leadership, because over definitely the past 2 years, I believe this has been going on before I even came on board 3 years ago. But definitely for the past 2 years has been something that our leadership's really been digging into this subject. Really been digging into the depth of the scripture passages that talk about church structure, that talk about church leadership, and talk about who belongs where and what belongs where. And they've dug into the history, they've gone back to the context, they've broken down individual words, and there's been a lot of study that's gone on in the leadership team when it comes to this subject. Because a lot of times you look at the subject and you just say, well, we'll just do it the way it's always been done because it must be right. And I think that's how a lot of us think. And that's why this was an important message series, or an important message in this series for us, to understand that we're not just cookie cutter shapes. There's a reason why we do certain things, and there's a purpose behind certain things. And these purposes and these reasons have not come about easily. We've really dug through these, and I'm very proud of our leadership for doing this. They've explored, they've looked at the guidelines that God has set up in Scripture, and they have, in freedom and in creativity, created a structure of leadership here at our church that I believe that glorifies God. I believe it glorifies God, first of all, because it does stay within those boundaries. I think the second reason it glorifies God is because this structure, the way that we're set up here, is set up so that we can be best used in our places of talent, and our places where we're gifted, and places where we have passion. All the leadership and all the people of the church can be placed in those places. And I believe that's glorifying to God. Well, in these guidelines, there's one unchanging piece. And I don't think that this, well, I don't think, I know, this should not change no matter what church structure you use, what church government. And that is that God is Lord of the church. That's something that should go without saying. But I wanted to make sure that it was said so that it couldn't be said that it wasn't said. God is Lord of this church, and Christ is the head of the church, and the Holy Spirit is the power behind this church. If we are to build a triangle, if you look in your bulletins, you'll notice there's a triangle there. If we were going to build a triangle representing our church leadership structure, then God would be, without a question, on top. And that is God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. That is the Trinity. That is the three in one. That is God, the Godhead, whatever you want to call it. God is top. God is in charge of the church. God empowers the church. God is head over the church. Is that clear? Good. Now, beyond that, our second tier is the leadership team. And here at Miami Town Church of Christ, our leadership team consists of the elders and the ministerial staff. At our church, the elders and the ministerial staff, they work together. We work as a team, and we lead the church as we feel God is leading us. And these two groups, they function as one, but each group, when you pull them apart, they each have their specialties. They each have their way that they serve, their way that they work, separate from each other, so that when we do come together, it forms that team. So let's break that down a little bit. Let's explore that a little bit. Let's look at the elders first. We base the qualifications of an elder on those found in Timothy and Titus, and both of those qualifications are very similar. So I'm just going to read for you from Titus. It's in Titus chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. It'll be up on the screen. It says, "An elder must be blameless, the husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it." So those are qualifications for an elder. For a lot of us, those aren't new things. We've read that. We've been through that before. But what does an elder do? And we know the qualifications. But what's the purpose of having an elder? What's the purpose of having an elder in church? What do they do? Do they just sit around and look wise? All right, you're required to go to a four-hour meeting once a month. And then all the rest of the time, just look like you know what you're doing. I don't know. What does an elder do? An elder. Well, they eld. So they eld. What does an elder do? Well, we've decided at Miami Town Church of Christ that elders are to serve as overseers and shepherds. And this is based off of a few different scriptures, but it's... The idea is pulled together real well in 1 Peter chapter 5. It's 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. It's 1 through 3. My lips are not working today. Let me try that again. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3. "To the elders among you." Okay, it's pretty obvious he's addressing elders. All right. "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as," what? "Overseers. Not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." So elders are overseers and shepherds. As overseers, our elders supervise. They supervise the whole church, making sure that we stay within bounds. Kind of like a referee might. All right? To make sure that we stay in bounds when it comes to scripture and doctrine, our elders are willing to defend the biblical standard of truth without compromise. It's part of being an overseer. Our elders make sure that the decisions that are made and the actions that are taken, that they support the general mission of God's church. And they also support the specific vision that God has given us to us here at Miami Town Church of Christ. So that's their idea. That's the idea of what they do when they oversee. Now, as far as shepherds, they are overseers and they are shepherds. Our elders care for and protect the people that God has entrusted to Miami Town Church of Christ. This is very similar to how a shepherd would care for and protect his sheep. These two words, care for and protect, to care and protect. To care, the idea there is that our elders work hard to make sure that inside this group, inside this family, inside this body of believers, that there is plenty of nutritious things that we can get involved in. Things that we can grow, things that promote the health and growth of those who are following Jesus Christ. That's the idea of care. That's what a shepherd would do as they give care to their sheep. Now, protection is kind of the opposite side of that. The idea of protection is that they keep out or keep things from growing from within. Things that would be dangerous. Things that would threaten. Things that would hinder the growth and the health of those who are inside this body following Christ. So they care for and they protect as shepherds. Now the second part of this team that I mentioned earlier, this leadership team that we have, is the ministerial staff. Now our job is to lead, train, and equip the church. We cast vision, we help organize, and we educate, and we empower people to get involved in ministry. We help to empower and organize different ministries that are going on. And this idea is modeled after a scripture that we looked at last week in Ephesians chapter 4, when we're talking about different spiritual gifts. These spiritual gifts that are mentioned in chapter 4, the ones that I'm going to read here in a minute, are church leader, church staff, ministerial staff type of gifts that are given. Let me read these here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers." Doesn't that sound like a church staff? Why? Why did the Holy Spirit empower these people with these gifts? Well, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So that's the idea of our ministerial staff. We're here to work and to empower those things, to help to lead, train, and equip the church. Now, there have been a lot of questions, a lot of confusion over a couple of the staff members here, which actually right now are only staff members here, Joby and I. A lot of people have questioned, you know, what's the role? I don't understand that. I don't understand what goes on there. You got Joby, you got Dusty, they really work well together, but I don't understand their roles. And that's because a lot of us, we bought into this cookie cutter shape of how to structure a church. And see, a lot of churches have a senior minister. And we've heard that term before. Senior minister handles a lot of these different things here. He's administrator, team motivator, he's over the staff, he's the preacher, he works with the finances, and he casts the vision out for the people. That's the typical job of a senior minister. Now, in addition to that, you'd have an associate minister to be able to take care of just a handful of other tasks, just a slew of other tasks. Evangelism, pastoral care, worship, education, outreach, missions, facilities. That's just naming a few of the things that could be covered by that type of position. So what we've done here is we've chosen not to have a senior minister. This was decided before I came on, and then after I came on, it's just been shaped and molded into the thing that it is now. And so what we did was we took all of these things and we kind of squished them together. And then what we did was we sorted them out according to giftedness, according to passion, according to the skills that God has given the two of us that are here. And so we've got some of the duties, I guess, of a senior minister, some of the duties of what would be an associate minister, and just kind of sorted them out. And out of that, we formed Joby's job and my job. So we kind of share what would be the split senior minister and the split associate minister tasks. Now, because of the nature of these responsibilities and the idea of leadership and leading a church, Joby and I, we function as a team. And this was something early on when I first came on and they were sharing with me the structure and the idea that they had for this. I thought, that's pretty interesting. This is either revolutionary or it's going to flop bad. And so far, I'm pretty sure it's been revolutionary. This has been an excellent idea. And obviously, I was into it. I bought in from day one. And one of the things that Joby and I decided on early was we said, we got to be tight. Even if we find out we don't like each other, we have to be tight for this to work. Now, it did work out that we ended up, we are friends. We do like each other. But we made that decision. We made that commitment based on the understanding of how this leadership structure would work. And Joby and I, we spend a lot of time together. We do a lot of thinking together. If you'll pop by the church here sometime during the week, every once in a while you'll find either me in Joby's office or Joby in my office. And we're constantly talking. It's not just shooting a breeze. I mean, yes, we are friends. We got some friendship stuff we talk about. But most of the stuff we talk about is church-related things. We're constantly bouncing things off of each other, bouncing ideas off of each other and talking about church issues and asking advice from each other and asking each other, hey, what's the next step? Well, I feel God leading here. Well, I feel him leading there too. Well, I feel him leading here, but I feel him leading here a little bit. Oh, I saw that too. Okay. And we're always bouncing things off. Where do we see God's going? What do we think God is doing next? And so we're working together like that. And in fact, we sat down together with this sermon And it's Joby. I called him up and said, hey, Joby, can you come over to my office? I want to make sure that we're dead on with this thing. I want to make sure that we're just, this represents both of us to a T. And so we worked on this sermon together. Those of you who know the two of us, you've taken some time to get to know me, and maybe you've taken some time to get to know Joby. You know, we are very different. Right? I got some head shaking, some people that know this. Not just our hair color. We are very different individuals. What's really neat about that is that because we're so different, when we come together, we just make sense together. And I think that's just a great thing. And some of the things that we're involved in, I'm the what if we could do this guy? Right? I'm the imagine this. How many times have you heard that in a sermon? I have to be careful. That's one thing. I go back, I listen to my sermons, and I hear certain things like that, and I'm like, ooh, I got to say that a little less. I say that way too much. But that's who I am. I'm the imagine this. And then you got Joby. Joby's the here's a plan guy. Right? You guys have worked with Joby before. He's always got a plan. He's always got something working. Some way, he's got point A, point B. I'm standing at point A, and I'm saying, there's point B. And then Joby's there, and he's there beside me. He's like, all right, we got point A, we got point B. Here's step 1.1110. Here's step 2.110. And he's got all the points in between those. And it just makes for a great team. Joby is the here's how we implement this vision type guy. And I have to tell you guys that this format that we have been led into here at this church, and the relationship that Joby and I have, and the team leadership that's there, it is by far the best experience I've ever had in any church. And it's great. It works. It's great for us. And I believe it's great for this church. I think good things have come out of that. And neither of us fight for the top dog position. Neither of us fight to be the leader. We're both very comfortable sharing the lead, which is confusing for some people. They're like, well, wait a minute. No, we share. We had a lady, and I asked her permission after first service if I could share this. We had a lady from the church that was standing in the church offices this week or last week. And there was a guy there, and she had introduced us to the guy. She said, this is our senior minister, Dusty, and then Joby. And she felt so bad. And this guy, you could see the look on his face. He was looking, and he was like, all right, so the guy with the silver hair is not the senior minister? I wanted to bend down and say, look, I'm thinning. You know? I'm catching up, all right? But she went to Joby later, and she was so embarrassed. Said, Joby, I'm so sorry. She felt like, you know, it was a pride hit or an ego hit. And Joby was like, it doesn't matter. He wasn't bothered by it at all. And I feel that that's something that's important to share. It's not something, neither of us are on ego trips here. We want what's best for this church and what's best for God's kingdom. So how do these two groups, these two big groups, fit together? How do they work together as a team? We have the elders, and we've got the ministerial staff. How do they work together? Well, if I could give you guys a kind of a camera shot into an elders meeting or a fly on the wall idea of what happens there, the elders empower the ministerial staff. They empower us so that we can function at full throttle. We as staff, we are part of the church. So because of that, they oversee us. They shepherd us as well, which means they're there to protect us, to care for us, to help us grow, and to make sure that there's nothing there that's going to hinder our growth. Now, in turn, the ministerial staff, we lead out with vision. We bring vision to the meetings. We bring vision, not only vision, but, you know, imagine this guy. Joby's right behind me. He's like, all right, here's a plan for the vision. Here we go. So we bring that to the meetings. We bring that to that team. And because of this relationship, we've started to coin a phrase that just represents how we function as a team. And that is that our church is elder-directed, staff-led. Just really seem to fit what we do to accurately describe what happens. Let me throw in a couple examples to help us kind of understand a little bit here. If we were to compare the church to, say, the business world, the elders are kind of the board of directors, where they oversee the company to make sure that the company is staying within the bounds of where they should be staying into, making sure they're not doing something that would be outside of the company or outside the purpose of that company. The staff is kind of the executive board, I guess, the executive workers, the ones that are there every day, working 8 to 5, managing the people, organizing things, making sure that events go as they're set out and planned for. Let me see here. If we compare this to, say, the structure of our government, that's something a lot of us are familiar with. If we take that, then the elders would be like the judicial system, all right, where they oversee people, and that the idea there is to make sure that everything is covered and it's equal and it's fair and it's everything's level ground. And things are being enforced that need to be enforced, and things are being taken care of that need to be taken care of, the judicial system. And then there, once again, to use the same word but a different branch, the staff would be the executive branch, which would be the people that deal with the day-to-day operations, all right? So that just gives you an idea of how we function as a tier or as a team in that second tier. Now, our third tier consists of deacons and church members. And we expect all church members, staff, we're church members. Elders, we're church members. We expect all church members to be servants. That's not just those who are not deacons or are not elders or not staff. We expect everyone who claims that they are a member of Miami Town Church of Christ, you are claiming that you are a servant. Now, with that said, deacons, to give a very simple explanation of what we've decided deacons are here at Miami Town, deacons are lead servants. They're ones who have taken on a greater responsibility, a greater commitment to serving this church. Deacons are held to similar standards as elders in the scriptures. The qualifications that I read earlier for elders, deacons are very similar to that. So as we look at this structure, this idea of how things shape out, we expect of you, all church members, that you support, that you are under, and you support this structure. We also ask that you support the mission and the vision that we feel that God has given us here at Miami Town Church of Christ. The basic mission, it's kind of a general mission statement, and I believe this mission statement is the same all across the board. Any church you go into, they're going to have a mission statement that represents the mission statement that God has given his church. It's going to be worded different ways, and our wording might change sometime down the road, but the principles will still be there. So right here is our general mission statement: to learn from God's word and adjust our lives according to the truths, wisdom, and knowledge we gain in our studies. To worship, serve, and love God as we grow closer in our relationship with him. To connect to each other as a family. And connect to others by offering them the acceptance that God has offered us. That's our general mission statement. That's found up on the webpage. So if you want to go back there and read a little bit more on it, you're more than welcome to do that. Now, in addition to this mission statement, we also believe that God has given us a specific vision for this church. We've got the general mission, but we believe that there's a specific vision. And this vision is, here's how we're going to accomplish the mission. Here's what we're going to focus in on. Here's our narrow focus. And now that vision statement, that might change next year. It might change 5 years from now. It might stick around for 10 years and then change once a year from then on out for 5 years and then find another one that sticks with us. The idea of that is that this is the target. This is what a win is and how we're accomplishing the general mission statement. And here's what we're going to focus down in on. And we believe that here at Miami Town Church of Christ, he gave us this very simple vision of doing life together. And that's how we're going to accomplish this big thing. We're going to love and we're going to serve and we're going to worship God because we're doing it together. We're going to connect with each other. We're going to connect with people outside because we're doing life together. We're going to grow. We're going to learn from God's word. We're going to apply it to our lives, and we're going to do so together. So that's the vision that we feel that God has led us to here at Miami Town Church of Christ. Now, as I said earlier, this is a different type of message from the messages we've been experiencing in this series. But when you look at the whole series, this is a very important piece of it, that we are all on the same page here. I don't expect this morning to be a life-changing moment for you. We're not in the middle of a big emotional hype, and I don't expect hordes of people to come forward during the invitation song here in a few minutes. If that happens, then praise God. But I know it has nothing to do with this message. It's God working on your heart because you've been reading the Bible while I was up here speaking. And that happens, and that's all right. But I do believe that this subject that we've talked about today, I believe it is vital in our ability to work together, in our ability to be one, in our ability to be a team, and in our ability to get out and do something more than just sitting here spinning our wheels. I believe this is an important subject for that. I mean, earlier we talked about the idea that really all I could do is say, hey, are you willing to submit to God? If so, God has put the leaders in place. God has put in their minds the idea for this structure, and this structure fits within the boundaries that God has set up in Scripture. But I felt that it would be nice that we could all know and have a little bit more information on that so we could all be on the same page with a little more information. You know, so far during this series, we've been using bunnies and this log to illustrate different prepositions. So, yes, we have yet another bunny. Definitely a stunt bunny for this one. Are you under? Now, a lot of people would look at that and they'd say, oh, poor bunny. Look, he's all right. Look. There he is. He's just fine. Now, he's a stuffed animal bunny, so I had to lay the log on top of him. But this is not exactly what I'd like to illustrate. Because when you're laying the log on top of somebody, that's oppression. Isn't it? You know, but when you crawl underneath that log and you lift it up and you support it on your own free will, on your own desire, that's not oppression at all, is it? You know what that is? That's honoring to God. That's honoring to those who he has called into leadership, those who he has anointed as leaders of his church here. I had a lady come up to me after our first service here this morning. She said, did you notice something about the log when the bunny was under it? I said, I don't know. I don't know what I noticed. She said, the log was lifted up. Are you under? If so, you've got a check box there where you can say yes. If not, you've got a check box that says not yet. Are you under?